Morning, good morning. There I am. It's good to be back with you today after being away last Sunday. I so appreciate the good ministering work that Benjamin did last Sunday with the sermon. I was able to listen to it on the podcast, and I appreciate so much the way he's ministering to the church family in that sermon. And thank you so much for filling in my absence. I've got several things I want to mention to you as we get started this morning, kind of some program notes about the work of the church here that you need to be aware of, and then we'll get into the lesson in just one second. First of all, we have a brand new lineup of Bible classes that will be starting next Sunday. So if you've not already done so, really encourage you to pick up one of our bulletins in the foyer, and inside you're going to find, or perhaps out there in the foyer somewhere, maybe separate, you're going to be able to find a stack of the class lineup for next quarter. And we've got some great classes. Want to encourage you to get plugged in. It's a great time if you've kind of gotten out of the habit to get back into our Bible class program here for the adult offerings. And of course, always, we have great classes downstairs for the kids. I want to mention to you on a little bit of a different note, one of the individuals that had been attending here with us for some time, Larry Hall. You may have met him and his wife Joy. They moved here about 2 years ago, and they attended services here as long as Larry's health would allow. But since January, Larry had been under hospice care and confined to his home, and he just recently passed away the last few days. And the visitation for Larry is going to be today at McCammon, Ammon, and Click Funeral Home, starting at 2 o'clock with the funeral at 3 o'clock. Some of you may have met Larry and Joy, some of you may not have, but if today you have the time and could go to either the visitation or the funeral, let me say I would personally appreciate it, because this would be a great encouragement to Joy. And so if we could encourage them as a church family, if you have the ability to do so today, it would be a great way to minister to a family. And so I want to encourage you to do that if you can. Also, I want to mention to you that at the end of 2013 and the first part of last year, you may recall that I did a rather lengthy sermon series on the topic of grace, and we studied our way through the book of Romans. The feedback I got from you as a congregation as a result of that series, the encouragement that you gave me, really motivated me to continue to work on that material, and I'm now happy to say to you that I've completed that material and it has been published in my first book, and that is available for you if you'd be interested in purchasing a copy. Here's a shameless plug. I'll be in the foyer with copies at the end of the service today, and I'd be happy to provide you for a small fee, provide you a copy of that book. And so I think you'll really enjoy it. It's the fruit of your encouragement. I think we went on this journey together, and I feel like you're very much a part of it. And so I'm just so happy to have the opportunity to write the book, and it's because of you in a large part. And so I thank you for that. Also want to mention to you that today begins the first day of our small group signups for a new season of small groups. We have a whole new arrangement this time with different pairings of leaders and about 18 different groups that are going to be offered, and today's an open sign up for a new season. So I want to encourage you to sign up today, and that'll continue this week and into next Sunday. Open signups for small groups will be in the foyer, and encourage you to sign up for one of those groups. It's a great way to get involved and to get to know people in this church and to really be a part of a church family. Now, a couple of special notes regarding that. First of all, our kickoff assembly for small groups will be a week from today, next Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the 6 p.m. service. We're going to all come here in the auditorium first for some brief instruction. Then we'll divide up into our groups throughout the facility here and do the planning for those groups. So when you sign up for a group, you want to come to the planning meeting so that you can help with the arrangement of your group. And so we really need your help with that, if at all possible. And also, this time around, we've got three Small groups that have a special focus. This is something we've not done before, but this year we've got three special focus small groups. One of the groups is especially arranged for both deaf and hearing members. So if you're interested in being a part of that group, you'll notice out there it's highlighted, so you'll know which group it is. For our deaf members and those that sign and those that would like to be a part of a group mixed with deaf and hearing, that's available for you. And then also we've got two groups that have a special focus with our Lads to Leaders program. Those two groups will meet here on the church property on Sundays and have their small group discussion and fellowship, and then following that, they'll break up and do small Lads to Leaders activities. So if you're involved in or would like to be involved in our Lads to Leaders program, that would be one of the groups you'd want to sign up to be a part of, and there's two of those out there, and they're highlighted as well. So pay special attention to that as you sign up for your groups today. With all of that said, this morning I want to talk to us for the next few moments about the topic of friendship. Michelle and I feel extraordinarily blessed in the work that we do. We're able to work with, I think, some of the best people on the planet. We've been able to work with, at least in our married life now, two congregations. You're the second one. And I just feel blessed whenever I travel and I'm able to go and speak and minister to people among the gatherings of the church, that we are blessed to work with the best people in the world. Now, we're not perfect. Church people aren't perfect. Christians aren't perfect. But we all have a common goal. We have a spiritual focus, and it's invigorating to be a part of that. It really is. We feel extraordinarily blessed as well to be a part of, for at this time, in this place, a part of this congregation. We both feel that we have developed deeper friendships with people in this church, probably more so than any church experience that we have had over the course of our lives combined. And I just thank you for that. And others have echoed the same thing. I've talked to some of you, and some of you have very deep friendships. In fact, quite honestly, it's those deep friendships that maybe keep you a part of this church. And that's valuable, and that's a blessing. But you know, friendship is kind of a tricky thing, because for some of you, friendship comes so seemingly from the outside looking in. It's just so easy for you. Some of you, you never meet a stranger. I'm not going to call any names, but Kathy. I mean, some of you just never, you never meet a stranger. And friendship, at least, I don't know your personal life and the interactions you have, but at least from the outside looking in, for some of you, it just comes so easy. And I must say, I'm a little jealous of you. For others of us, we have certain, for various reasons, certain barriers that we have erected in our hearts and in our lives, and we guard ourselves against people. Maybe you've been hurt in the past. Maybe you've had deep friendships. You've been wounded. Maybe you're just not ready to start over again. It's like, I've been there and done that, and I'm tired of investing the tremendous amount of time and energy it takes to have deep friendships. And for some of you, you've got these barriers up, and it just takes longer to get to that place of friendship. But I want to say to us this morning that spiritual friendships are an extremely important part of life. The early church knew how important this was. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible tells us that the early Christians devoted, now catch that word, devoted themselves to several things that were of premier importance in spiritual living. Things like prayer, things like the apostles' doctrine, things like breaking bread together, and then, for our purposes this morning, things like fellowship. Now, that's where it gets tricky. Because the word fellowship is a word that for many of us, it has become so watered down, so trivialized, that we don't really even, I think, understand what fellowship is. We talk about the fellowship hall. We talk about, let's go have fellowship, and we're talking about coffee and cupcakes and cookies. And so I'm afraid we've lost the richness, the deepness of what these early believers saw as being on equal importance with the right doctrine and prayer is fellowship. Now, it might be better to call it community. They devoted themselves to the community of faith. They devoted themselves to relationships with each other. It was of premier importance. We might put it this way: they devoted themselves to spiritual friendships. Devoted themselves to it. It was an extremely, extremely important part of the life of believers, and should be and must be an important part of the life of believers today too. In fact, I would argue that the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ and what He did for us, is something that sends you and me into deeper relationship with God, but also it calls us to be into deeper relationships with each other too. It's the very core of the gospel. The two greatest commands are loving God with everything you have and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love each other. How much more true is that of your Christian fellowship in the body of Christ? A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says, that you love one another. It's of premier importance. Spiritual friendships cannot be neglected. Now, you may wonder why I had Todd read from this passage this morning in the book of Acts. It's part of Paul's travel log as he's doing his missionary work and traveling around. But did you notice some of the description of what Paul encountered as he was traveling? Because this is at a point in time in his life where some things are coming into sharp focus. Earlier in the chapter, in Acts chapter 20, we see in verses 22 through 23 that Paul's life takes a dramatic turn. Because the Holy Spirit reveals to him, Paul, you've got to go to Jerusalem, and some bad stuff's going to happen when you get there. He knows he's going to be persecuted, he's going to be imprisoned, possibly he's going to die when he gets there. And so because his life takes such a dramatic turn, you see beginning here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 36 that Paul begins to spend a lot of time with his friends. He begins to draw on the spiritual strength of Christian community. He needs the benefit, the love, the encouragement, and the support of other believers to endure what he's about to go through. And so he comes into contact with spiritual friends, and they're weeping together, and they're kissing, and they're hugging, and they're encouraging each other. And you see these deep friendships that Paul has as he spends time with these people. Sometimes we might be inclined to think that the desire for friendship is a sign of weakness. In our culture today, we live in America in this culture that indoctrinates us from a very young age that we're to be highly self-sufficient, highly independent. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And so for some of us that have let that message sink into our minds, we might be inclined to think that the desire for friendship is somehow a sign of spiritual weakness. But I want to show you this morning that it's exactly the opposite. That the desire you have within you for friendships is not a sign of weakness, but instead is a sign of spiritual strength. In fact, it is a sign of spiritual health when you have that desire for friendship. That it's a sign, in fact, I'll take it even one to another level, which we'll explore in a moment. It's an indication of the imprint of God on you. When God created everything at the very beginning, He spoke light into existence, and He created the environment that we live in and filled it with all manner of living creatures. And each day as He created, the Bible tells us in the opening chapters of the story of God and us, that every day when He created, He looked at what He had made and He said, "It is good." On the sixth day, He took some dirt and made a clay man, and into that clay man He breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He made that first human being in His own image, after His own likeness. And when He saw it, when He saw this first man, He said, "It is very good." So everything God made was beautiful and it was good, but there is one thing, only one thing, that when a perfect God created a perfect paradise, there is only one thing He said is not good. He looked at Adam and He said, "It is not good that he should be alone." Adam was not lonely because he was imperfect. He was lonely because he was perfect. When God created Adam initially, there was no sin in the world. He was innocent and pure. He was a perfect creation. But God said, "It's not good that he's alone." That feeling of loneliness was not a reflection of his imperfect nature. It was a reflection of he's perfect. You see, the ache, there are many different aches that we experience in life. Some of them are the result, many of them are the result of sin. But there is at least one ache that we have deep within us, the ache for friendship, is one of the only, if not the only, ache that is not the result of sin. It was an ache that was in Adam's heart before the world fell, before sin came into the world. It was a divine ache because that ache was a reflection of the imprint of God upon him. You see, you cannot enjoy paradise alone. You cannot enjoy Eden without friends. Adam had God. He walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam had the perfect quiet time with God every day, the perfect spiritual relationship with God, but there was something missing. Adam still needed friends. You may be sitting there in your seat this morning experiencing acutely the ache for friendship. You may be sitting there knowing in your heart of hearts, although maybe you would never tell any of us here, you are lonely. And you feel that need for deeper friendships. Maybe you really do want more friends. Let me say to you this morning that that desire within you is not dysfunctional. That desire for friends within you is something that is placed there because you are made in God's image. Now, let's be honest though, sometimes the reason why we don't have friends is because of dysfunction. Sometimes the reason we don't have friends is because of behavior that we are engaged in, or attitudes or dispositions that we have that are the result of sin. But the desire itself that is deep within you is not dysfunctional. You were built for friendship. But for some of us, we learn to squash that desire. For some of us, we have learned, because maybe we had to, because of circumstances that have been beyond our control, we've had to learn to survive by quenching that desire for friendship within us. Maybe you were disappointed by a friend in the past. Maybe you were betrayed. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you had friends in a place you lived before, and a job change or a set of circumstances required you to move to a new community like Maryville, and you're just not prepared to start over again. You don't want to do the hard work of investing in friendships. I want to say to you this morning, it is wrong for you to squash the desire for friends within your heart. Because when you squash it, you are quenching the flame of God's imprint upon you. The less that you want friends, the less like God you are. The less like Jesus that you are. Sometime, if you have the chance in your personal devotional time, read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read through them afresh from this perspective. Read through them thinking in terms of how many of the things that are said in those Gospels recorded for you and me are the result of Jesus having deep, personal conversations with his friends, his 12 closest friends. The desire for friendship is very much tied up with the purpose of your creation, and the purpose of God's plan of redemption is to restore friendships. So I want to say to you this morning, let yourself need people. Because the day is coming when you're going to need them. But if you wait till the storm comes, if you wait for the day of trouble, it's too late. Let yourself need people now. Relationships and friendships are the reason why that we were built in the first place. Creation is the result of friendship. Think about this. The God we serve is a triune God. We serve the one true and living God, but in His nature, He is inherently relational, inherently communal, inherently the Godhead. The one true God in His very nature is a friendship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the reason we were made, the reason for creation, is the result of their friendship with one another. We were made, creation is the result of friendship, and I'm convinced that our destiny in heaven leads to a place of the richest, deepest friendships that we'll ever experience with one another. Now, as Paul is giving us his travel log, you see he recognizes all of this. He recognizes his need for friendship. It would have been very easy for Paul to receive this vision from the Holy Spirit and say, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'm on a mission. I've got a task here. and I've got to get this task accomplished, and I'm headed straight for it, and I can't be worrying myself with a lot of distractions. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul stops, and he lets himself need friends. And they kneel down and they pray together. They weep together. They hug each other. And we see Paul recognizing his need for friends. Have you recognized your need for friends? Later in this text, we see Paul comes to another place. If you look down, he comes to Tyre in verse number 7, and again, he is greeted by the brothers. He's greeted there by spiritual friends, to the point that they also, we see, are experiencing this deep connection with each other. They're kneeling down, they're praying together. Now, here's what's so interesting about when Paul comes to Tyre. When he comes to Tyre, we know biblical scholars tell us that most likely Paul had never been there before. He didn't establish this church. He didn't know, perhaps did not know any of these believers. And yet he experiences this deep, rich friendship with them where they're encouraging each other and supportive of one another. You see this deep connection even though they've never met. And here's the point. Spiritual friendships, at least in one sense, are automatic. Now here's what I mean by that. The Greek word that we have translated in English, fellowship, the Greek word is koinonia. And it literally means to share something in common. Now you stop and think about this for just a second. Think about the friends that you have had over the course of your life. I would dare say that for most of us, for most of those friendships, when we have had deep friendships with somebody, it is because we shared something in common together. Maybe it's because you were a college roommate and you shared that experience together. Maybe it's because you played on the same sports team and you shared that team experience together. There are various reasons why we have deep friendships, but it always comes back to sharing something in common with each other. Now, when Paul comes to Tyre, get this, he encounters believers of Jesus that he has never met before, but as soon as he gets there, you see this deep friendship that seems to be automatic. Why? Because they shared faith in Jesus together. The deepest of friendships are always friendships that do not center on the friendship itself. The deepest of friendships are when two people come together and they're both focused on something bigger than themselves. That is spiritual friendship. This is what causes Paul to kneel down on the beach and pray with these brothers and sisters. Because spiritual friendships, in a sense at least, are automatic. It's not something you can fabricate or create. It's not something you can force. It is something that just automatically happens when you share faith in Christ with people. Maybe, I don't know if you've had the experience of knowing this the way some of us have. Tom knows this experience. You can go to a place you've never been before, half a world away, and after a day with being with other believers, feel like you've known them your whole life. Bill, you know about that too. Many others of you do. Why? Because you have a friendship that is spiritual in nature, that is focused on something bigger than yourself, and you feel a kinship, a closeness, a connection with each other. In Ephesians 4, Paul says that we should maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Listen to that, maintain it. In other words, this bond, this spiritual bond that exists between believers is not something you can create. It is something God gifts to His people. that share belief in Jesus. It's up to us to maintain the connection. So there's a sense in which spiritual friendships are automatic, but then there's also a sense in which spiritual friendships must be maintained and worked at. It's not just something that is automatic or discovered alone, but instead it is something that must be, in a sense, made. It is something that must be invested in. If you keep reading here in Paul's travelogue, look at the things they shared together. They shared their feelings with each other. And you see, that doesn't come natural for some of us. That requires some work. That requires some effort. That requires some trust, some vulnerability. But they clearly are sharing their feelings together. Listen to the language. They wept together. They kissed. They hugged. And these are men, guys. And why is that not weird when you read Paul doing it? Because it's not weird because it's spiritual friendship. In just regular worldly friendship, that would be kind of weird. But this is spiritual friendship on a higher purpose, on a higher level. But they shared their feelings with each other. They shared their things with each other. You see these people opening their homes in hospitality to give Paul a place to stay as he's traveling. They shared their faith together. They're constantly talking about what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing. They're kneeling on the beach and they're praying together. And here's something that's real interesting. I don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but they try to actually keep Paul from going to Jerusalem. They say, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and told us, don't go. And that's really bothersome for some of us because earlier in the chapter, Paul said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him to go. So what's going on here? Well, I think what's going on here is not contradiction, but is showing how important it is in our spiritual walks to not make decisions in isolation, but instead to benefit from the spiritual walk of other people. You see them wrestling with this. Paul is wrestling with it. He's saying, you're not going to see my face again. What do you mean we're not going to see you again? What's going on here? They're wrestling with the spiritual journey together. You see, a real spiritual friend is someone that you allow and in fact invite to speak truth into your life. You're inviting someone to preach to you, to give advice and direction, because real spiritual friendship is all about iron sharpening iron. So real spiritual friendship means I let other people into my business. Paul didn't just head straightway to Jerusalem. He stopped and he entered into conversation and he shared with them what the Holy Spirit had been saying to him. And they're sharing their reservations about it and they're wrestling with it together. And they share their time with each other. I say all that to say you can look through that text and see that while there's a connection that was automatic because of their shared belief in Jesus, there's also something that it's not automatic in the sense that it doesn't just happen without you investing in the relationship. They're investing in each other. So let me pull all this together with some takeaways about how we respond. Let me summarize by saying, have you been squashing the desire deep within you that's been placed there by the virtue of the fact that you've been made in God's image? Have you been squashing the desire within for friendship? If so, I say to you, let yourself need people. Is it a risk? Sometimes. But the benefits far outweigh the risk. If you've been hurt, let me encourage you lovingly and gently to try to invest in friendships again. Because God is calling us to these relationships with each other, and we need each other. So how can you respond to it? Let me give you some practical ways that you might respond. Do you have a friend? Are you in a friendship or have been in a friendship that now is on the rocks? Is there a friendship that you have that is in desperate need of repair? If so, I say to you, now, God is calling you through this sermon now to do what it takes to do the hard work to go and repair that friendship. Jesus would put it this way: before you come and lay your gift at the altar, if you know somebody's got something against you or that a relationship is on the rocks, you leave worship. Get up right now and go and repair it. You can always come back and lay your gift at the altar another time. It may be time to leave and to go repair a friendship. Some of you may need to get rid of hurt feelings and the fussiness of thinking that friendship is all about what you get out of the relationship or what other people think about you. It may be time to get rid of those hurt feelings and realize that friendship is something that I must pour in and invest in. It's not just something that other people gift me with, but instead is something I must contribute to. Maybe if you're married this morning, maybe what you need to take away from this sermon is that it is time for you to ask God to show you how to make your spouse your best friend again, or maybe for the first time. Now is the time to start really developing deep spiritual friendships with other Christians. Friendships that are open and transparent, vulnerable, real, and accountable. And a beautiful way that we're trying to put into place where that will make it a little easier to do that is our small group ministry. So I really want to encourage you to think seriously about how God is calling you into deep spiritual friendship, and to take those first steps of entering into those with other people by one of these ways. And sometimes the deepest spiritual friendship you may ever know may be one that you would have never ordinarily invested in. It may be somebody that's far different from you. But if you just had the opportunity to rub shoulders with them, you might develop the richest, most deep relationship and friendship with another Christian you've ever had. So I encourage you to look for those opportunities among your fellow believers here in this family of Christ. So, won't you do that? Won't you respond in the way that you know is appropriate this morning to the need that God has placed in you for spiritual friends? If we can help you to know the friendship that Jesus wants to have with you, I'd love to talk with you. You can speak with me in the auditorium, in the foyer, after we dismiss from the auditorium. Or if you need prayers of encouragement, we'll have a shepherd of the flock down front and some in the library for private prayer. If we can help you, come to Jesus, who is a friend to sinners, a friend to all of us. And he invites you to come as we stand and as we sing.